Dr. Donaldson, I'd like to ask you this morning about your work with the Chinooks, which you have been breeding the way other people have in the past bred superior strains of horses, sheep, cattle, and things like that. When did you actually get going on this program on the University of Washington campus with the Chinooks?
Actually, I started my first work with Chinook salmon in the fall of 1930. This is the 30th year then of such exploratory type experiments.
What were the early experiments, the 1930 experiments with the Chinook?
Well, in the first place, I was trying to see if I could some way somehow get Chinooks to live in this environment, in the Seattle environment in general. I originally used the water from the Cedar River. And I was told when I came here from the Midwest that Chinook salmon wouldn't live in this area. There were natives of the Columbia River. Well, if someone says you can't do something, that's just time that you want to start trying. And it's always more fun to do something that's rather different than the usual sort of thing. Well, in the early experiments, we tried to get Chinooks to live, and then we tried to see if they would return. And we released them various places in this watershed with varying degrees of success. One of the difficulties is we didn't have a place where we could control the return. We were able to rear them, but one needs a complete cycle. That is, you have to have a place where you've got the fish back from the sea in your hands so that you can evaluate your success or failure. Of course, if it's a failure, you don't get any back, so that takes care of itself rather quickly.
But you were able to get Chinook, which are normally a fish that heads for big, strong streams, the rivers like the Columbia and the Snake, to come back into the smaller, less violent rivers?
Oh, yes, that with a few trials and a few errors and a few successes, it was fairly reasonable to assume that we would get the expectancy maybe 0.1% survival. This is good. If we have 0.1% returning, then we have our seed back and adequate for the following experiment or for the reproduction of the run. Then in 1948, I had hopes that we would get our present facility in the fishery center on Lake Union. And so in the spring of 1949, I released some fish into Union Bay, although we hadn't built the building yet, but I still had hopes that such would be built. And then in the fall of 1952, we built the building in 1950, and I had constructed a little ladder leading up from the bay up under what used to be the golf course, now an area occupied in part by the medical center and the fisheries center. In the fall of 1952, the first Chinooks returned back up the ladder. It was a tremendously exciting sort of thing to see these big beasts come out of the sea and climb up our tiny little ladder.
Well, isn't that a year early? That's only 3 years.
Well, 48 to 52 is the normal cycle of 4 years.
Oh, I see. You mentioned releasing them in 49, but that was after they were a year old at the time.
Well, normally Chinook spawn in this fall. That'd be the fall of 1948. We incubate the eggs, and the eggs hatch about the first of the year. We feed them for 90 to 100 days, and during which time they grow to about 5 grams, about 1/100th of a pound at the time they migrate to sea. So they normally migrate to sea sometime in the mid-spring, early summer, and they stay in the sea for 3-plus years and return on the fourth year.
I recall a picture, I believe it was in the PI, of you standing in the rain counting these first fish as they came back, and if I recall correctly, the University of Washington was playing a football game that afternoon in the rain.
Well, yes, both areas I'm very much interested in, the fish and the football game. But I think in this instance, I would give prior claim to the fish. I just got so excited, I jumped in the pond and hugged the first one, I think.
Well, since then, I mean, you could see the implications of this, but the to someone like me, without having you detail it, it's not clear what you saw. What you could see from those first fish coming back were the possibility of millions of pounds of fish, of protein.
Actually, if you have a start, you have a seed, you can begin to select and develop, just as our forefathers have been doing with corn or wheat or cattle or pigs, as by applying the techniques of applied genetics, you could select and develop a run of fish if you have a start. Well, this was the start. So 1952, we had a start. And we used these fish for a supply of eggs. We fertilized the eggs, we developed them, and we sent their offspring back out to sea in the spring of 1953 then. Well, much to my surprise, in the fall of 1955, 3 years, we had 0.1% back in 3 years. This is a very rewarding sort of thing, because I might have waited 10 years, I might have waited 50 years for a good, what we call a mutant. Something is peculiarly different. But since Chinook salmon normally are 4 or 5 years when they reach maturity, and we had a nice return, 48 fish, which was a great number, but it was good because we had 48 mutants. Coming back 1 year early, and they were large, strong fish. So we used these then as a nucleus for brood stock for subsequent experiments. Well, my original hunch proved, I think, essentially 100% correct, because since then this stock has been responding in a very remarkable way. In salmon work, you expect 0.1% survival is very good. 1% is fantastically good. Well, from the 1955 experiment, we've obtained in our own hands 3.3%, which is 3.3 times a fantastic good, or 33 times a normal expectancy. Well, this simply means where we might expect to have a few hundred fish at most, now we're in the thousands of fish, and out of these that come back, we have been selecting the very strong ones, and instead of turning out 40 or 50,000, now we're turning loose from our selective stocks about 250,000. Well, the next round, they'll be up by a factor of 10. Instead of having 1,000 fish or so, we can expect 8,000 or 10,000 fish in this returning cycle.
Now that's in about 61?
Yes, in the fall of 1961, I think we can expect to have some 8,000 or 10,000 salmon coming back to the university. But of course, we can't handle this many fish. This is an experiment station. We aren't geared or equipped to handle runs of this. But this is a very valuable resource, and I think we should bend every effort to take care of this extra high-quality seed and use it for advantage in the production of food for the people of the state, not to mention a lot of good fun going to catch them.
Well, how can this be done? Where could you put these fish that have come, the extra ones that you'll have? You'll have hundreds of thousands of eggs.
Well, actually, I think we should have some 10, 15 million extra eggs each year. This is an expectancy. It hasn't happened yet, but I firmly believe it will. If we have 10 or 15 million extra fish, young fish, then we'll have to develop the fish farms to go along with the entire program. In fact, I think that if one were critical, inclined to be critical, one would criticize our efforts in salmon management, trout management, as being a partial effort. We do a part of the needs for management, but we don't go all the way. In some places, we control the predators. In other places, we put the fish in and compete with the predator fish. some instances we develop the seed, as I've been trying to do here at the university. And then we put this in a poor environment. In other instances, we may put them in lakes or ponds that are inadequate food. So I think the way we envision it now is to have the complete environment. We develop extremely good seed, the best that we can, and it'll improve with the years like the other seeds have. The seed, in this case, means seed stocks of, or brood stocks of Chinook salmon. And then we develop the environment for the young to grow in. Now that I don't mean we'll have lots of concrete ponds rolled up. I think this is a rather wasteful technique. But we'll develop ponds and lakes close to the sea, remove the predators, keep the forms that prey excessively upon the young fish during their freshwater development, and reduce this fantastic mortality that in natural conditions is about 99%. Suppose we reduce it to 40% or survival of 60%. We have 60 times as many fish then. Well, in addition to the predators, one of the limiting factors is food. What we've learned through our trace mineral studies, how to improve the quality of food production in land and in water, and we can apply this technique to make waters more productive, make lands more productive, or the combination of land and water more productive, so that the health of the fish is improved, the health of the environment, or even the health of the people will be improved. Well, back to fish again. Then these fish can migrate to the sea, make their 99% of their growth in the sea, and return back to this pond or lake, wherever it may be, and then be caught. And I would hope they'd all be caught. Now I realize this is a rather radical statement, that as we normally think, well, you have to have lots of fish escaping for seed. But remember, I mentioned that we have the seed stock at our select stations within the state, an example out of the university. And our stock then can be used then to stock these other places. When they come back, we catch them. We actually then produce a resource rather than harvest under somewhat the law of the jungle hunter, the small surplus that nature may provide. We move in and take control and produce then instead of a harvesting a few that may be excess. And I would envision then that we might have productions of, 10 million pounds of Chinook salmon a year. This is a rather fantastic resource.